Hi, this is Allison Gingras, host of A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras, your on-air book club. A Seeking Heart features daily live discussions, weekly giveaways, and author interviews. We don't just review books, we share them, and you're invited to participate by calling in or posting your comments on social media. The best part, no reading necessary. I got you covered. Please visit A Seeking Heart show page on breadboxmedia.com for showtimes and featured books. Welcome to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. Good morning. We're going to be talking today about, what do we talk about? River of Grace, Creative Passages Through Difficult Times by Susan Bailey out from Ave Maria Press. I talked about it yesterday, and Susan will be here tomorrow, Thursday, on July 28th to talk about her book, her experiences. She's a delightful woman. I've had the pleasure of meeting her a few times. We both live in the same general area, not close, but close enough to run in the same Catholic circles, the same women's events. And I have been just so blessed to meet Susan, and I think you're going to really enjoy listening and talking with her tomorrow. If you want to join the conversation, you are always invited. 573-4BREAD-4, 573-4BREAD-4. You can text or call 573-4BREAD-4. Before we jump into River of Grace, just a couple of things I want to talk to you about. Tonight on Google is the Friend of the Show Google Hangout for A Seeking Heart. If you'd like to join us this evening, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, we invite you to go over to breadboxmedia.com, click on Friend of the Show. For just $10 a month or more, you can become a friend of A Seeking Heart, and with that comes extra entries and the giveaways. I'm going to talk about that one in a second. The Google Hangout, which is the last Wednesday of the month, tonight again, 8 p.m. If you want to join us, we just talk about books and questions and just laugh, and it's really fun. We have a great time, and I'd love to have you in on the fun with us. Friend of the Show, breadboxmedia.com. Sign up today. You also get your own squirrel or rosary bracelet. You might have to wait a few weeks for it. I don't mean to be so bad at mailing stuff. If you ever won a prize from A Seeking Heart, you understand, unless it's coming from the publisher, you may be waiting just a few weeks or so. It's not, again, not that I'm lazy. I'm just not really good at getting to the post office and wrapping things up, because it takes, you have to really think about how you're going to package this stuff. And it's a challenge. It's a challenge for poor little Allison. I know, really shouldn't be, but it totally is. Totally is. You really want to get in on this week's giveaway too. Only has 4 days left. I ran it a little extra longer. That's lovely English, Allison. I ran it a little extra this time because it was just too good just to not give as many people as possible a chance at. This was from our friends over at Servant Books Franciscan Media. It's a mega giveaway from them. So generous. It includes Pope Francis Takes the Bus and Other Unexpected Stories. And I haven't really talked about this book much, so I thought today I would copy and paste from Amazon the explanation. I'm not sure I ever received it, though I definitely will be adding it eventually to my list, my bookshelf, because it just the cover alone, you want to purchase it. It's got a caricature of Pope Francis with a briefcase entering the bus. So cute. The whole family, they write, will enjoy this charming real-life stories from the life of Pope Francis. Following a quirky A to Z format, the 80 lighthearted anecdotes in Pope Francis Takes the Bus are full of warmth and humor, revealing the simple humility of the man whose spirituality and concern for others has transformed the church and captured the imagination of Catholics and non-Catholics alike. In only the first year of his pontificate, Francis has already reinvented the very role of Pope and Bishop of Rome. His less formal style of dress, his choice to live at Casa Santa Marta, his use of a small car in place of a limousine and his frequent personal phone calls to friends and even complete strangers are everyday manifestations of a larger understanding of Christ's message. One that emphasizes humility, mercy, and care for the poor and the suffering. What we can see in Pope Francis is a radical change in priorities. One that is being declared in his words, but also evidenced by his actions and personal way of life. Concluding about this book again, Pope Francis Takes the Bus, it contains stories and episodes from various stages in his life as the parish priest known as Padre Bergoglio. Oh my goodness, really? You knew I wasn't going to say that right. And it's like one of those words. It's his last name. It was his name in Argentina. And it's Jorge Bergoglio. I don't know how you say that. I'm not even going to try. Then I'll just post it. It's Pope Francis's name back when he was a priest in Argentina. You know, Bergoglio. Then I know it's not hard. I know it's ridiculous. It's in my head, but it won't. I think I just completely just psych myself out. Then later, as a rector, bishop, archbishop, cardinal, and finally pope, Italian author and radio personality Rosario Carleo. Carleo's collection will help readers gain a clearer picture of Pope Francis and will serve as inspiration for anyone seeking humbler, more gospel-guided daily life. How fun is that? That's part of this giveaway. So there's three prizes. You can win Pope Francis Takes the Bus or the Gary Zimak pack. He was here last week, and his two books from Servant include Faith, Hope, and Clarity. And the one we talked about last week, Find a Real Friend in Jesus. And last, but certainly not least, you can receive the 5 volumes in Lisa Hendy's Chime Travelers series for kids. Let me tell you, I was given a copy of it to pre-read the very first one. I actually got to endorse the second one, and I read these both in adoration, and I was enthralled. I was totally learning something new. The characters are so adorable and well-formed. You can't help but fall in love with them, and you want to know what's going to happen. You want to follow them on their journey. That's a trademark of a very good children's book that the adult doesn't mind reading it. My past life, I don't believe in second lives. I'm teasing. But before I went into full-time ministry, I was actually a preschool teacher. Before that, I was a paralegal. Before that, I was an executive secretary for a mortgage. I was a mortgage processor. Before that, I was an executive secretary for a real estate company. Can you tell I have ADHD? I hope with all my heart this is the last place the Lord is sending me into ministry. Though, and even here, He gives me many, many different ways of, I have no idea where this thought process was going. I just started, I was about being a preschool teacher and reading books. I loved reading books as a preschool teacher and a child care provider. And it was really a hallmark of a really good one when I was just as enthralled with the story as the kids were. In fact, I wouldn't read them unless I found that they were going to spark great conversation and that they were equally as interesting to me, the adult, as it was to the child. That was kind of my own criteria to picking out good children's books for reading with my guys and gals. It was really fun. I miss preschool some days because I really miss reading out loud. I love sitting with a book with Faith, but it's not the same when you're signing it. You're trying to hold it and you're trying to turn the pages and you're trying to put your finger so she can follow the words and then you're trying to sign it. It's a little more work than it used to be just sitting and reading with them cuddling. But we make it work because it's important. She needs to be read to. She needs to learn how to read. So this week's giveaway, Pope Francis Takes the Bus, Gary Zimak, and Lisa Hendy, all from Servant Franciscan Media. Go to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras on Facebook and click giveaway, or head over to reconciledtoyou.com and you can click on radio show, and it's right on the front page there. It's called Rafflecopter. Just you answer a few questions, click a few things, and you're in. It's 12 ways to win. And if you become a friend of the show, there's 10 more. Also there today, I really want to draw your attention to the blog. It's worth revisiting Wednesday, which means we're posting older blogs. It's a link up, so it's not just my blogs, it's other people's as well. And we're sharing some of our past favorite posts. Well, today I decided, because it's World Youth Day happening right now in Poland, and I was part of World Youth Day 2013 in Rio de Janeiro, I posted my blogs from that time. I actually combined a few of them. The technology wasn't as awesome as we had hoped when we got to Rio. We just had these little phones that didn't do much, but I could tweet from them. So I tweeted some of my trip. I also blogged, and I've included those in today's Worth Revisiting Wednesday. It's the sweet tweets from my World Youth Day 2013 pilgrimage. I was really blessed to have an intern doing her field ed experience, Carol Diaz. It was so good to have her helping, and she would take all my tweets and put them into a post and get them out there. So if you want to see what I look like tweeting in the rain on the beach of Copacabana in Rio de Janeiro with a red bag over me, yeah, you really want to go today's reconciledtoyou.com, or you want to go to reconciledtoyou.com, click on the blog, and you can just search in there for sweet tweets. I know I stole that. That's so not my, it just goes so well together, but it wasn't my idea. Very cute. Another thing that you want to check out, it's kind of funny, on my personal page, Allison Gingras, also on Reconciled to You on Facebook, Carrie Santos, who was one of the authors that visited us, interviewed me about natural family planning. And that interview is on there as well. We come back, we'll look at River of Grace. You're listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. We'll be right back.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app. Change the world.
Welcome back to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. Today we're going to be talking about River of Grace, Creative Passages Through Difficult Times, Susan Bailey, Ave Maria Press. But I finished up on that last segment. I just want to kind of make sure I was clear because the music started to play and I was like, wait, I'm not done talking. You think by now, 2 years, I figure out when that music's going to start. And Alex has given me cues, so really I should know. But I'm Allison, and I'm a squirrel, and so we're talking about natural family planning, NFP, and if you've never heard of natural family planning, it is a way of using your body's signals to know when you are fertile and when you're not. And I didn't realize it was so controversial until Carrie Santos, who was one of our guests, wrote the Four Keys to Marriage from Ave Maria Press. She, a couple years ago now, interviewed me about natural family planning, my husband and I, our decision to use it and to change from the pill and to embrace this, you know, way of well, it is birth control, but it's in controlling birth, but it's not, it's natural. And I really struggled with the pill. It made me feel sick. I had no libido. It wasn't good. It was just not a good process. I guess it's easier, you know, you're married and you think, you know, if I have a baby, if I have one or if I don't have one, but it really does, when used properly, work for natural spacing of children. It's a very much a misnomer that the Catholic Church thinks that every family needs to have 100,000 children. It's a discernment they leave up to the couple to decide how many God is calling. You need to be open to it, which natural family planning helps you to be. I also learned that the pill could cause cancer, and there's a thing called abortive facet, which is a way that you could be having an abortion. You know, there could be one of the three ways that the pill helps with the without being pregnant. That's not really working. Getting pregnant is that if you have a fertilized egg, it doesn't allow the wall of your uterus to allow it to implant. So if you have an egg that's been fertilized, life has begun and it can abort that. And like all of these things I didn't know, it didn't sit well with me. It was something I personally didn't feel okay with. Like I wouldn't have an abortion, but yet I was taking this medication that possibly could have caused one. And I was like, okay, this isn't going to work. And I felt awful. And again, I had no libido. So the very purpose of using this medication was not working out because I didn't want to have sex anyway. It was like, oh, this isn't fun. And one of the great things about being married is, you know, let's be honest, it's the sex. At least it should be, because it's the only thing that you and this person that sets you apart from every other friendship, from every other relationship. I mean, there's other things too. You're bonded, your hearts are bonded in the sacramental marriage in a very, very special way. But anyway, we decided to embrace this teaching. It wasn't easy. It was very difficult. When I went through perimenopause, it was nearly impossible, and I struggled like heck with it, but I don't regret it for a minute. And one of the greatest things about it, especially at the time where I, you know, my cycles were more normal, and I could be more assured of when I was and wasn't fertile, was it. And Carrie used this as the tagline. I can't even believe I said this to her, but it was like it's like an aphrodisiac. When you have this freedom, when your body is not filled with chemicals, and you have this this healthiness, and this desire is returned, and you can use that desire to either create life or not create life. And it's not even a given that even if your cycle is saying that you're fertile, that you're going to conceive life, though the four times that we did conceive were each within a month or 2 months, much to my husband's chagrin. But one of the interesting things for me with natural family planning that I felt was really important to share in that article was being in a group, a faith sharing Bible study group with over 30 women, and I was the only one who was using natural family planning. But to listen to the conversations around me of women complaining about their husbands wanting to be with them intimately, and how difficult sometimes it was, they felt put upon, it created a great stress in their marriage, there was fighting, she'd feel bad, she'd hurt his feelings if she wasn't in the mood. And what I really loved about natural family planning is that there is a natural break built into it, especially if you're in the process of trying to avoid pregnancy or have a space in spacing your children, or for whatever reason, there is this natural, like I can, we, Kevin and I decided to track together. Like I would take my temperature and he'd put it on the chart, at least at first. And we would look at the chart together and read the signs, and there's different, I'm not going to go into how NFP works. Plenty of information out there now on the internet, but go to Carrie's website, Can We Cana, CANA. She's got lots of resources there. But I just thought for us, there was this natural break, this time where I could say no and I'm not hurting anybody's feelings. We had like that beautiful break time, and it really strengthened us. It our marriage very much. It was a blessing. It was an absolute blessing. What I didn't like is that she tagged me on Facebook with this article, which was fine. I that didn't bother me. But then somebody just went crazy arguing against natural family planning. And like, nobody's forcing you to try it. Nobody is, like, even the church doesn't impose this upon you. All decisions about contraception and sexuality are based on your moral decision, like your informed moral decision. And you know what? Everybody is going to have different circumstances and are going to look at this differently. For me, and my family, it was the right decision. I didn't want to be on a medication that could possibly abort a child, that could possibly give me cancer, and honestly killed my libido. There was, what's the purpose of it, right? I just didn't feel that, for me, it was a morally sound decision. And this is what we did. But this person went crazy. I didn't fight back. I'm terrible about that stuff. Like, there's certain things, like, I want to defend the faith, but I just, sometimes I feel like you can't win arguments, especially with trolley kind of people. And there's a thing called the church militant. There's church triumphant. That's the souls in heaven. There's a church, oh, I forget the other one. This church militant, I'll think of it. It'll come to me. But the church militant, is it means it's the us here on earth. And, but people kind of take that and become a militant church instead of the theological meaning behind it. And it makes me crazy. Like, that's one of the reasons people are so lax or against the church sometimes, because we come out with these rules or feelings or thoughts and we're kind of just so adamant and stringent on them, and it makes me crazy. Like, I just can't stand militant church. It just, there's no reason for it. It's a church of love, it's a church of understanding, it's a church of hope and joy. And when we get stuck in these little minutiae of you should or you shouldn't, it just makes me insane. You're never going to convince somebody the joy of this church if all you're doing is yelling at them or fighting with them about the rules and regulations. Yes, the church sets up rules and commandments, and God set those up. And they're for our good. They're guidelines. You know, it's like the, what do you call those things on the highway? The guardrails. Like, they keep us from going off the road and getting hurt. They're there to kind of gently guide us back and to help us to stay on that path towards heaven, towards God. But we certainly don't need to be forcing them upon anybody or arguing against them or for them. It was just crazy. I was going to untag myself, but in the end, I decided not, because I don't know. I'm just, maybe at some point there'll be an argument or something written that I'll feel comfortable. It was just such a juxtaposition to all the conversation happening on A Seeking Heart yesterday about the tattoos and children in church, which was so peaceful and respectful. I loved the dialogue. The dialogue was very understanding, and this, not so much. It was kind of crazy. Yes, I just realized I used two segments, and I haven't yet started talking about River of Grace, creative passages through difficult times. That happens sometimes. There's just so many great things to talk to you about. If you want to talk back to me, you have any thoughts about natural family planning or the church militant, church triumphant, and church, oh, I'll have to look it. I can't believe I can't remember it. Anyway, I'll look it up and we'll talk about it on the other side of these messages. While we're on messages, while we're away, go check out breadboxmedia.com. Click on Friend of the Show or click on A Seeking Heart, because then you find out what specifically you get as a premium member of A Seeking Heart. Your choice of a prayer squirrel. Everybody needs a prayer squirrel. Or a handmade rosary bracelet. Extra entries in every giveaway. You get to hang out with us on the Google Hangout, which is this evening. Sign up today and you can be with us tonight, 8 p.m. Eastern, as we talk books and life and laugh. And there's also going to be eventually some exclusive content over on my Breadbox Media page. I'm so grateful always for your support, especially your prayer support of A Seeking Heart and Reconcile to You. It's such a gift, and always I'm here to pray for you. That's another benefit of being a friend of the show. Whether you give me the $10 a month or not, you know you can always count on me for your prayers. Allison at breadboxmedia.com. You're listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media, and we'll be right back.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.
Welcome back to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. The last segment, I was talking about the church militant, which is a kind of a weird terminology. One of the things with my reversion, I realized that there's so many churchy words that I had no clue what they meant, what they were about. I kind of enjoyed learning about them. It's really not my focus. I really love learning about Jesus and the scriptures and relationship. I'm so girly about my faith. I have such a heart faith that I don't really always give a lot of attention to the head faiths, which was making deacon school with my husband really interesting. Some days I'm totally focused. Love hearing all the churchy lesson-y, academic-y kind of stuff. But generally, I just really like the emotional, feely, touchy-feely stuff about the faith, I guess. Well, it is what it is. But this is kind of an interesting lesson about, so that it's the theology is basically, there's called the church militant, which consists of the Christians on earth who struggle as soldiers of Christ against sin, the devil, and the rulers of the world of this darkness against the spirits of wickedness in the high and high places. Fancy, huh? Fancy speak. The one I couldn't think of was church penitent. Those are those suffering in purgatory. Those are the souls suffering in purgatory. And then church triumphant, and those consist of the people, the souls, seeing the beatific vision, which is feasting their eyes upon God in heaven. That's pretty cool. All working to be the church triumphant. But I think some people just take that church militant, they take that word militant the wrong way and become uber defensive of the church. And I don't think that that's a great way of ever teaching somebody about Christ. Like, he never got up. I mean, he got, all right, that's not completely true. Like, he think about in the temple when they were selling things, he knocked over the table. But he just spoke the truth. He didn't go on and on and on like I am about this. We're going to move on now. So there's your catechism of the day. You're welcome. We're going to go into the river of grace. Oh, I didn't even mean to say it that way, but considering how hot it is today, I think going into a river of grace would be fantastic, quite honestly. Creative passages through difficult times. Susan Bailey out from Ave Maria Press. If you'd like to join the conversation, 573-4-BREAD-4, 573-4-BREAD-4. And as always, go to Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras on Facebook. If you ever want to leave me a message, keep track of what we're offering here. And of course, enter this week's giveaway. So I was thinking, and it's a chapter of Flowing with the Current. At the end of each chapter, she gives questions for reflection. As a person who's led small group for 10 years and loves questions and love pondering things through questions, I was drawn to this question here. Are you aware of some pain, trauma, or unhappy memory in your life that you are unable to face? And if so, what is it? Why don't you want to face it? What do you think would happen if you did try to face it, knowing that Jesus was at your side? And there are some things from my childhood that were pretty painful that I don't talk about often and I don't share publicly. It's just, I mean, I share it in my retreats, but I don't usually write about them or speak about them, and I'm not going to change that now. But I did realize something. The other day, Kevin and I, Saturday morning, we were alone and I was watching TV. He'd gone out to work in the yard, and he came in and I got bagged with one of my guilty pleasures, which was Marriage Boot Camp Reality Stars. Yes, I know. Why are you doing this? Don't watch this. But I couldn't help myself. I really like Marriage Boot Camp because I think that even though some of it is contrived and crazy, I think at the very core of it, the advice being given, the psychology being shared is sound. Yes, that is how I absolutely justify watching this show. Wait, it gets better. So we're watching it, and it's the episode where the couples are to share a very traumatic event from their life. And they're sharing things about abuse and being bullied and having affairs and just all these really being just really traumatic things. And one of the men said, I'm very overprotective of my family because I never felt protected as a kid. And it was like a giant light bulb went off over my head. My family, especially my boys, my two older boys, and my oldest one, the most special, gets very angry with me because I'm so overprotective. I worry anyway because of my anxiety, but I worry about everything. And I'm always trying to protect him. I nag him, trying to, you know, save him from getting hurt. But you know what? Okay, remember yesterday I shared with you that he kept losing money? Really proud of him. I went to the store he works at, and he caught me and said, oh, come here, I want to give you money that was given to me for work I did today so that I don't lose it. I was like, yay. He actually learned before it became a bigger problem, because that was a substantial amount that he handed to me. So I guess they do learn from my nagging and from my sharing, but I really am overprotective. And that person's, see, you can learn good things from reality television. When he spoke about why he was so overprotective, that light bulb went off. I've never felt protected as a kid. Things that happened to me should have never have happened. And I really blamed those people who should have been watching over me for allowing those things to happen. And I just never thought of the fact that not being able to control my own situation as a kid, that would then lead me to be so overprotective as a parent. I don't think it's going to change anything. Excuse me. I think I'm still going to be overprotective, but perhaps it will help me be a little less overprotective, or at least tell the boys why I'm so overprotective. Maybe they'll give me a little leeway, a little flack there. Lack. No? Slack. There's the word. They'll give me they'll give me a little slack on why I am so overprotective. So just, you know, this idea of going back into our past and how much our past affects our present. It's quite amazing. You know, feeling very insecure often, I know, again, comes from not really receiving a whole lot of affirmation for good work. Or I don't think that everybody needs a trophy. I don't kind of go with that everybody needs a trophy way of thinking at all. But I do think that there is some merit to telling people, hey, good job, or you're really good at that. Like, how many people have gifts and talents that they don't foster or don't even know that they have because they have never been given encouragement in them? And that's one of the things that Susan Bailey talks about in River of Grace. When she learned that her voice, she was losing her singing voice, it was time for her to branch into something new. But yet she didn't really know what else she had to offer, because it's scary to step out in faith to try something new. It's even scarier when you're not sure you have any inclination towards it whatsoever, or any gift in it. So I think that insecurity that I received as a kid are just such a great gift. It's kind of followed me. One of the questions she asked later in this chapter is, upon sensing an invitation from God to do something that unnerves you, how do you feel? What was that invitation and how did you act upon it? believe it or not, the toughest thing that I have done in the last few years has been this radio thing. You know, this was something that the Lord put completely on my heart. My spiritual director sensed it many years ago, but I didn't really see me doing this. And I remember when the Lord first put it on my heart, I said, okay, God, here's the deal. I will do this, but there are three things I will never do. I will never go live. I will never interview anybody, and I'll never take callers. Never say never, ever say never. Because when the Lord wants you to do something, if you open your heart to Him and trust, because this was a huge leap of trust, and there are days, you know, like today, I'm not exactly on my A game, where I can't seem to grasp at these words, and I know that I don't have time to go look up mid-sentence when I start to talk and realize I have no idea what I'm talking about. I have to really trust that the Lord is still going to use this for good. So whatever it is that your heart feels drawn to, pray about whether this is something that God is calling you to. If it feels uncomfortable and it's the door you most less likely want to walk through, that may be a sign that this is what He's calling you to. I can't wait to share with you in the next, I think probably in the next month, I should be able to share what I am up to. That little secret thing that's going on, a secret project that is happening. And it is absolutely nothing that I ever expected to be called to do. But as it unfolds more and more, I see I truly feel it's where God has always called me to be. And I've just been too afraid, too unsure of myself to follow that dream. We come back, we'll look at more of River of Grace by Susan Bailey. You're listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingrich here on Breadbox Media. We'll be right back.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.
Welcome back to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingrich here on Breadbox Media. We are journeying this week with Susan Bailey's new book, River of Grace, Creative Passages Through Difficult Times, Ave Maria Press. I really loved, I know I say that about every book, but I don't do the book on here if I don't love it. But what I really loved about this book, was so unique about it, was the structure. She has that whole imagery of a river and water. She talks about kayaking, and she kind of draws everything back to this experience with kayaking with her husband. So I just really beautifully imagery'd. But the format, which was really cool, is included the text, of course, the content, but then she had these flow lessons, and they just kind of pop up after a little bit of context and just to kind of cement or strengthen what you've just read. And she tells you to go get some materials that you will need, paper, pen in some cases, heavy furniture you can't move in other other cases. This one, in the beginning, part one, you need pen and pencil, paper, favorite childhood books. We're just talking about those. Videos and songs. And she kind of brings you down a memory lane. In another one, your favorite childhood activity. Just, she goes through a whole, gosh, so many of them. I don't know how many exactly, less than 15. Take a chance. So there's like 15, at least 16 maybe. Great. They're so different. I've never seen that before, where you're given this very original activity to cement the lessons from the book. Again, if you're, like I said yesterday, if you're a kinesthetic learner, if you learn from hands-on doing, then this is a great book for you. That's my old early childhood educator brain working. People learn from hearing, doing, and movement, doing movement and seeing. That's the one I messed up. So visually, auditorily, and kinesthetically with your body. That's something different. I've never seen that in a spiritual reading before. So that was, I loved that. Did I try any of them? A little bit, not the ones that required something beyond paper and pen. Though I really did want to see if I could move my furniture, and I didn't yet. Because I'm not sure any of it is actually, I think it has to be able to slide. I'm not sure any of mine does. Maybe my kitchen table, that might try it there. Excuse me. The other thing I loved about it, which of course we do see quite often, especially in Ave Maria books, are these questions for reflection, which turn out to be fabulous small group questions. When you come together and read, like reading books is fabulous, and you should read them often. Spiritual reading is crucial, I think, to keeping us on the track, you know, again, that roadway analogy, keeping us off the guardrails and on the right path. I think they give us a new way of thinking of things, a deeper way of encountering Christ, especially in our own life. I love reading other people's stories, and reading them is important. But I think, and reading fiction and nonfiction, both Catholic fiction and nonfiction, truly important. But I think one of the very keys of the spiritual reading that's different than other reading is this discussion. I mean, how many people belong to book clubs? There's a reason that we have been drawn together to share an experience of a book, and how much better, or how much even more so, if that shared experience is a faith experience. I don't think I would have the faith that I do, which is still some days on very shaky ground. One of my favorite prayers is, Lord, I believe, help me with my unbelief, from the Gospel of Mark. If I didn't have the group, we were just meeting on Monday, and we were just talking about how that accountability to come together, that shared experience, that the having the insight of other people who read the same thing and they may take a completely different lesson out of it, just that richness of coming together, how wonderful that is. And again, as we're going to World Youth Day, which is happening right now in Poland, as I'm revisiting that over on my blog, reconciledtoyou.com, one of the biggest things that came from my World Youth Day experience was to not be so sporadic about offering Bible study in my home. I had been very faithful to it for about 3 years. And then that group went on to the evangelical church, and the choices of reading weren't really speaking to my heart anymore. So I went in my new church and I did a little bit there, but that was very sporadic. We would just do seasons. And I hadn't really had a group in my home for a very long time. Talk about stepping out in faith and things that you're uncomfortable with. When it comes to being a Mary or a Martha, the Mary being the one comfortable sitting at the foot of Jesus and just soaking up every word, and the Martha who is more hospitality kind of minded, which I am not, it was really difficult for me to open up my home week after week. I was so worried that it had to be company clean, you know, the company versus family clean. I thought it had to be company clean, and I was wrong, you know. After the last day of World Youth Day in Rio 2013, Cardinal O'Malley was doing a talk, and he said, if you really want to change the world, if you really want to evangelize and open up people's hearts to Christ, then you need to learn hospitality. I had done a little group that summer, but when it disbanded right before I left, I said, oh, I'm totally done. I'm not going to do this anymore. It's too hard. I came home. I emailed all of them and then a few extras. And I said, I'm starting Bible study again. It'll be every single Monday night. Get used to family clean. I promise the bathroom will be clean and you won't stick to your seat. Other than that, I can't be held accountable. I'm not really dirty. I'm kind of a little bit of a clutter person. And, you know, maybe the dishes in the sink are not going to get done that day. I might not sweep the floor that day, but I promise you the table will be clean. The bathroom will be wiped down and all will be good. And no one has ever criticized, and just been 3 years now of what a blessing of coming together. And it is books like River of Grace with these questions that make it possible, because we can come together and we can use a book and we can come up with our own questions. We usually, my style is to go right from the beginning of the chapter, and if anyone's highlighted anything or have any questions or comments or thoughts, we kind of move through. And then we get to the end. Sometimes the questions are rhetorical. That makes me crazy. But often they're very thought-provoking and bring us to a deeper understanding of what we've just learned. And Susan Bailey has a wonderful gift, truly has a wonderful gift for creating questions for reflection that don't reiterate what we've just learned, but help us put into practice what we just learned. And I've really enjoyed answering these questions. And here's an affirmation, word to the wise on diving deep. No journey, Susan writes, should be taken, ever be taken alone. As with all adventures, there is risk because of the fine line between legitimate deep dive and self-indulgent and narcissism. Such a journey within should be done under supervision. As someone prone to those faults, I learned that while I should indeed cling to my creator who knows me best, I also need to continually seek guidance from spiritually mature people. Solitude and quiet are necessary for self-discovery, but so is active engagement with others. Jesus shows, Susan Bailey continues, us this balance in ministering to us so many during the day and withdrawing to prayer at night. Too much solitude equals isolation, sending us into that disillusional bubble where we lose perspective. You come to believe that you alone can accurately discern what God is saying to you. One of the lessons Susan shares that she learned from her deep dive was this necessity to be with others and resist the temptation towards too much solitude. I had to chuckle at this next line because I could have written it myself. As someone who enjoys her own company, being with others took intent and effort. I always tell my friends, I'm sorry, I'm the worst friend ever. I love them and I love being with them, but it really takes me effort to do so. I'm an extrovert and I love to talk and to share, but I also have these introverting kind of introvertal tendencies where I do enjoy quiet time, home time, and there needs to be a balance. What Susan's talking about, we see that with Jesus's example, there's a balance. So to get with others, you can in spiritual direction, either through a deacon, a priest, a lay spiritual director, then to come together with your friends and new friends to share your faith. You can do it in your parish. You can do it in your home. I like doing it in my home. One, I don't have to go out. And two, I think it's a more intimate setting. It's a more comfortable setting. I think that there are certain people who will feel comfortable going to the church and some who will not. And so to be able to open up my home, even though it's way out of my comfort zone, is a true blessing, and I've seen the ripple effects of doing so. Tomorrow on the show, we will visit with Susan Bailey, the author of this week's book, River of Grace, Creative Passages Through Difficult Times, again out from Ave Maria Press. Make sure you take a visit today over to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras. Click on the giveaway. When you finish with that, go over to breadboxmedia.com. Check out Friend of the Show so you can be present with us on tonight's 8 p.m. Eastern Time Google Hangout. Become a friend of the show. Really love to have you there with us. You have been listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media.
Thank you for listening to Breadbox Media Podcasts. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.